Grace and peace to you from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God, now and forever. Amen. This morning I'm preaching on the last line of our gospel reading, which was, however, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's my translation from the original Greek. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you sent Jesus to show us, to instruct us, to teach us your way. Lord, we know that true beauty comes from within because that's where you have chosen to reside. So, Lord, help us to open up and express and release that light out into the world so that true beauty, true love may be found among those who would otherwise battle, strive for things that are not beneficial. Father, open up our hearts, our ears, our minds now. Pour in your holy word. Secure it by your Holy Spirit and grant us peace that at our last breath we will be drawn to you and live with you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's an implied warning in the saying, be careful what you wish for. You may just get it. It resonates with St. Paul's teaching, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. In today's gospel, Jesus invites us to see that there's a God-pleasing order for our relationship with him, with its subsequent promise and benefit of quelling our feelings of fear and uncertainty. Now, I want to start with an illustration. Excuse me for the mispronunciation. Pichai Sundararajan is the CEO of Alphabet, the parent company of Google. His rise to the top of this behemoth trillion-dollar company was meteoric, and in 2022, his executive remuneration was $226 million. Now, there's no problem with being fairly compensated for one's labour. Indeed, in two places in the New Testament, the labourer deserves to be paid. But there is a grave moral issue with how such compensation was derived. You'll notice that I didn't say earned or deserved. In December of 2020, Google fired one of its top AI ethicists for failing to retract a paper she wrote on the dangers of large language models and for speaking against the company's treatment of minority employees. Her colleagues were extremely angry about how the firing was handled and felt that management created a hostile work environment. Like many large tech companies, Alphabet hired rapidly from 2020 to 2022. Overhiring led to cost cutting, and the company said it would tighten up on its perks and travel budgets. The cuts culminated in layoffs in January 2023, when Google laid off 12,000 employees, or 6% of its global workforce. 2 months later, more than 1,400 Google employees wrote an open letter to the CEO about the handling of the layoffs. It read, "Don't be evil." Pichai copped flack over his big payday in the face of the layoffs, and he was accused of destroying morale and culture at Google. Another insight into the extent of his egotism was exposed when he said that AI technology is one of the most important things that humanity is working on, and more profound than electricity or fire. That's cold comfort, pun intended, for those of us who don't share his hubris. The moment I read about this, the verse immediately before today's gospel sprang to mind. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth," or mammon you're more familiar with. Another is like it. From Proverbs 10, verse 16, "The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin." These verses state simple truths, and I understand that things aren't presently going swimmingly for Google. Now, I'm not picking on the CEO of Alphabet particularly. I've never met him. I'm merely using this as an illustration of the inclination of all human hearts, how things work out, and the harm that comes to others when we put our priorities above those established and commanded by Jesus for humanity's true prosperity, which is salvation. His, Jesus, is a much better, indeed the better way, because Jesus died so that we may live. So I want to break it down microscopically by going through the words. Jesus' invitation is to seek first. First is self-explanatory. It simply means before anything else, doesn't it? Do what before anything else? Seek. Now, I really want to tease this word out. Jesus uses this word in its most extreme sense. It means more than having a mummy look. Brothers, you know what I'm talking about. That car keys, wallet. More than that. Desire is good. Strive is better. But what Jesus is talking about here is to absolutely crave. Crave what? The kingdom of God. Absolutely crave the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't muck around when it comes to the object of his love and compassion. You. Nothing less than the kingdom of God is good enough for those Jesus calls family. Now it all sounds rather ethereal, intangible, untouchable even, because the kingdom of God is his sovereignty, royal power, kingship, authority and rule. But it's actually more real and much closer than you realize. God's kingdom is in heaven, sure. But the absolute joy of heaven is the rule of Christ in a believer's heart. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has brought the kingdom into your hearts, conferring his royal power and dignity on you to transform you, to give you new life. The kingdom of God is that perfect order of things established by Jesus, in which all who believe in him are gathered together into one society, the church, intimately united with God and made, hear that again, made partakers of eternal salvation. As I said, this isn't some ethereal pipe dream. Christ has firmly established his presence with us, and we already enjoy his benefits: love, peace, mercy, patience, love, forgiveness, compassion, confidence, love, courage, wonder, joy, love, grace, reassurance, generosity, kindness, love. And did I mention love? Are you getting it? Yeah, Pastor, but when do we get the rest of the good oil you're always banging on about? The no more pain, tears or death bit? Great question. I'm glad you asked, John Corman. Two ways. Either you must die, suboptimal as my son would put it, or live long enough to see Jesus' majestic return from the skies, commanding the clouds to convey his passage, where the dead will be called to life again, the ills and wrongs that burden you now will be no more, and the powers hostile to God will be vanquished. This is the exalted and perfect order of things which already exists in heaven, into which you'll one day enter. Either way, you'll have a front row seat, as by Jesus' gracious invitation, you, the congregation, constitute the royal city of God. God's kingdom is both now and yet to come. We enjoy the benefits of his love now and look forward to the indescribable but assuredly even more wonderful things yet to come. So what do we have so far? Well, absolutely crave, hunger like you're starving, hunger for, crave before anything else, God's transformative love. Did I mention love? Good. And yet, saints, even that's not enough for you. Jesus wants to add the gift of his righteousness. His righteousness is God's divine approval. God has examined you according to what he deems to be right, and you have been approved. You are acceptable in his eyes. King Jesus renders you, his subjects, acceptable to God by virtue of his own perfect love, humility, and sinlessness. In sacrificing himself and dying on the cross, Jesus has imputed or credited his grace and goodwill to us so that we can hope for salvation as though we had never sinned. Guilt and shame has no place in the Christian's life, brothers and sisters. We can hope for salvation as though we had never sinned because Christ is our righteousness. The only way to obtain this hope is through faith, the gift bestowed on us by God at our baptism. By faith alone we receive that priceless gift, God's grace, revealed and pledged in Christ. We possess grace through faith. We embrace the grace of God offered to us in the death of Jesus Christ. We bear the royal seal of approval, Christ's cross, also conferred at our baptism. We are justified in his sight. It really is too grand to comprehend, isn't it? Jesus enjoins us to absolutely crave before anything else God's perfect love and grace. Why? That we may live, truly live, with the dignity of royalty bestowed on us by our King Jesus. And in doing so, all these things, what we will eat, drink, clothe ourselves with, indeed, everything we need each day. And I encourage you to go back and read Luther's explanation to that petition in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. All these things will not only be given to us, but will be added to in ever-increasing abundance. Saints, this Harvest Thanksgiving, we're reminded to crave for the gift of eternal life, a carefree heart, a joyful life, freedom, and be thankful for God's goodness to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen. Saints, let's join together and sing "Here We Are," during which our free will offering shall be gathered.
Than kings, oh, we need provided all this life and beyond. Great blood shed on the cross, healing our broken bodies, filling us up with His new kind of life. But how do we say our thank yous? Anything would be far too small. How do we pass it on? We could sing His song.
Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We will pray following the reception of the offerings, for all the offerings for Harvest Thanksgiving today. That's all right. Thank you. God bless you richly. Mary, would you like to give these to me too? This one's very heavy. I need help. Quick help before it hits the ground. Oh, good girl. Thank you. God bless you, sweetheart. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for God's blessing on all of today's offerings. Together we pray. We praise you, Lord our God, creator and King of the universe. You have created the world and made everything that is good in it. You make the sun shine on the earth and water it with showers of rain. You have produced plants and animals from the earth and have given it to us as our home. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living creature. You have provided us with everything for our enjoyment and give us times for work and rest. Bless these our gifts of thanksgiving so that by them life may be nourished and sustained here on earth. Give us health and strength for our work, so that we may rejoice in your goodness and use your gifts for the benefits of all your creatures. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Heavenly Father cares for us and knows our need. In our prayer, let's cast our cares on Him in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Merciful Father, you have protected the fruits of the earth and crowned the year with your blessing. We give you thanks for physical health, for the use of our senses, and for our intellect and thought. Make us good stewards of our abilities that we may bring glory to your name every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for supplying us with water. Help us to care for and manage our water resources wisely. Have mercy on those who are suffering drought and supply clean water to all who need it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, gracious Father, for all the good things the earth produces. By your provision we are clothed and fed and lack no good thing. Care for those who live in want and teach us to be generous with the gifts you have first given us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, Lord God, for the opportunity to work, learn, and rest. Help us to serve you and others faithfully in our vocation and provide work for the unemployed. Bless all places of learning and students. Help them to learn what is good, true, and beautiful, to distinguish between right and wrong, and to contribute to the needs of our society. Give them strength and growth for the challenges ahead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for works of beauty of every kind. By such things you have enriched and added joy to our lives. Bless and encourage all that is good and uplifting in our arts, music, and culture. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the financial gifts you have blessed us with. Teach us to use these gifts in ways that are pleasing to you. Warn and correct us when we falsely put our hope in worldly wealth. Grant our church the necessary funds to carry out its work of ministry and mission. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the gift of parents and children, family and friends. Let the light of your love shine in our homes. Help us to overcome strife and conflict with your patience and forgiveness. Help parents in the task of raising children. Comfort the lonely and bring them into good company. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you, Lord God, for the blessings of a free and peaceful society. Help those in government and positions of responsibility to maintain honesty and truth, justice and peace. Lord, lay a heavy hand on those who would seek conflict rather than negotiation in the current wars that we see emerging from the Middle East. Encourage all our citizens to lead good lives and strive for the common good. And Father, we lift up before you the family of Gary Elix, who passed into your care last night at the Lyell McEwen Hospital. Lord, comfort that family, comfort their friends, give them peace, help them in all deliberations that they now need to make. And Lord, through it all, let your glory shine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, unless you care for us and give us what we need, all our work is in vain. Keep our hearts and minds set firmly on your word, so that we may always trust in you and be generous with the gifts you have given us. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.